Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Shin Kamen Rider, a 2023 film directed by Hideaki Anno. This was my pick that I've subjected you all to because I'm a big fan of the creator and his previous projects. And when I heard that he was doing this, I got very excited. And then when I first watched it, I was like, wow, this is incredibly niche. I don't think I can subject anybody to this. And then I decided, why not? Why not? So Michelle, what did you think?
It was too niche.
No, I agree with that. It was too niche.
It's way too niche. This is the equivalent of the guy, if you're like really into Hot Wheels as a kid, right?
Oh yeah.
And then like, it's like, and then after you made like a very successful project, you're like, what do you want to do next? I want to make the Hot Wheels movie.
Uh-huh.
And then like, and you, and
but that happened.
That already happened.
They made a Hot Wheels.
No, they are doing, they're making one. They're also already making the submarine movie. They're doing that
submarine.
Already. About the one that.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, the
Titanic one.
The submersible that
collapsed.
Oh, yeah, they're making. There's already a movie deal on that.
Wow. No, that makes sense. But Hot Wheels, what do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So, what was incomprehensible? Let's just start out by from that. What makes a niche and inaccessible?
The whole thing. I had no idea what was going on.
I sort of had an idea, but it took a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And just structurally, it's not what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a shock.
So much happens.
Yeah.
Like, I think by the 38-minute mark, that's where most superhero, like the first of the trilogy, that's when they end.
Yeah.
But, like, this keeps, it just keeps going.
It felt like three movies in one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they introduce a dual protagonist, like, with 40 minutes left. Anno is incapable of pacing. Well, here's the thing. Shin Godzilla was pretty much much more traditional this, and but it kept some of the same kind of visual flair and the bombast, but still, yeah, I really liked the director's previous stuff. He did Evangelion, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, and he specializes in taking these science fiction concepts, and the overarching conflict is actually very grounded in our own insecurities, our sadness and our loneliness. And the villain in this is actually more, like, even the titular evil organization, what they're searching for is to secure human happiness as opposed to a big laser beam that comes down from the sky that wipes out a city. So there's a lot more, like, there's a lot more human elements that from his work that I really like that got put in there. Yusa, you're saying something about there's no such thing as bad CGI.
Yeah, I thought it was a response to what you were saying, that it's not like they don't have the budget of Marvel, but they use it in a way where it's not like as photorealistic or whatever, but it's its own thing, and it's just as creative and it's pretty in its own way. So I thought it worked. It wasn't like, oh, this is just like badly executed. It was like visually striking. Yeah.
He's made it move. So in terms of his visual style, you realize a lot of handheld stuff in here, a lot of POV shots, and almost GoPro. I think some of it actually are just GoPro shots. Like when he punches somebody, he puts the blood bursts from the camera. He made a movie about all these schoolgirls. It's just like kind of like a literature. He made like a Richard Linklater movie before. It just follows these schoolgirls on the day in their life as they go about and maybe indulge in like whatever else. It's very, very specific and shot almost just like this in terms of these very like VHS kind of feel. It's worth checking out. Michelle, do you have anything else to add other than it's niche?
No.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so it says that he, after Evangelion. Well, it says his work is postmodern.
Yes.
Right? So it's deconstructing the genres of where he works in.
Mm-hmm.
This is very clearly that, like it sort of deconstructs the
superhero genre.
Yeah.
And
do you see that in all of his work, like in?
It almost, yes, just like how Godzilla, well, not so much, I wouldn't call it so much as deconstruction as it is just interrogating the genre.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he holds any resentment against it. It doesn't feel mean spirited in the way, like, you know, like, oh, like, we're just trying to subvert it for the sake of subverting it. But he turns, like, for example, Shin Godzilla, it's like you can make a monster movie. I think it's very much in response to Gareth Edwards, like, 2014 Godzilla, where where the monster is everything, but in Shin Godzilla, it's all just about the ground level stuff. How does a government and a government employee realistically deal with a big monster suddenly appearing crashing through Tokyo? And what levels of bureaucracy do we have to deal with before we can address a problem? So in terms of relating that to real life events, that's more paralleling the Fukushima disaster, nuclear disaster with the, in 2011. And the slow response time from the government as they are drown in red tape and are unable to enact positive change fast enough. So kind of that's what Shin Godzilla kind of becomes. So yes, a lot of his stuff does contain that element of like breaking down the medium. And his latest Evangelion film, towards the finale, they start stripping the colors away from the screen. Uh-huh. And then they start stripping the character details until all that's left is the original storyboard, you know, the animation storyboards that they've like, and that's almost as if the director bearing himself, like stripping everything away. There's nothing left for me to show you other than this plain emotional truth laid out in front of you. Just the storyboard. This is where it all started. This is just me speaking to you as the audience. Yeah. So that's kind of what he specializes in. I wouldn't even, it's kind of hard to put the postmodern label. It's kind of hard to, I don't think I'm well read enough to actually like speak about it from like a postmodern lens, but he is actively, when he tackles something, it's always with like a more personal goal in mind. And that kind of shines through in this as well, when the hero doesn't try to defeat the villain and instead tries to make him reason with him and make him understand.
It's produced to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Kamen Rider.
Yeah, I think they gave him they realized that he's like the only prolific Japanese director who has the capability to pull it off.
Wait, so what is the tokusatsu?
Tokusatsu is a genre. It's like Power Rangers. It's when people dress when there's the monster of the week and they dress up as like their version of the superhero genre, effectively.
Okay,
vast vigilantes.
This is the third one of the after Shin Godzilla and Shin Ultraman.
So Godzilla, he's basically he's putting his own spin of all these popular properties. Right? It's like if I do, like, I don't know, what's an American one? Like
if you do, like, Spider-Man, but it's like David Fincher's Spider-Man.
Or... Exactly. Oh. That's what he's doing. Like, see, that's like the Shin is new.
Oh, Shin means new.
So new Godzilla, new Ultraman, new Kamen Rider.
Did you make us watch Ultraman?
No.
I feel like I've seen this.
Ultraman's even more incomprehensible than this, so like, there's a good reason why I didn't pick that one.
Oh.
He didn't direct it, but he produced it. His fingerprints were still all over the place in it. But yeah, that's kind of what his live action stuff is now. I kind of wish he would go back to his earlier films, because when his more indie stuff is fascinating and also very, very sad. So yeah.
So he first proposed the project after becoming close with producer Moniyuki Ki.
Hmm.
Okay, is that close?
No. I think that sounds pretty good.
All right. During the production of Evangelion 3.0, You Cannot Redo. Initially, Toei, that's the production company.
Toei. That's the big logo of the waves,
the
that's Toei. Yeah.
Oh. Aimed for film to be released in 2021. Our production was delayed due to COVID. Mm. Principal photography began on the 3rd, October 3rd, 2021, wrapped in 2022. And then he did another Evangelion movie after that?
He went straight into it. He released one. He's basically working back-to-back.
Which is 3.1.
3.0 plus 1.0 is the idea of a circle, a coda. The story loops back and returns to where it began. So he works very, very, very hard. There's a big lull between the third and fourth movie because the third one had... people really didn't like it because it's very much going back to his roots. It became very depressing. And I think he was trying to recapture that and people didn't quite get it and he sunk. And then he became very depressed. And they're like, oh, what are you going to do? So he did Shin Godzilla and that became a success. Then kind of brought him back into, okay, I can finish this. I can actually like complete this project. So Evangelion came out last year, and this came out this year.
But he also said that he has more ideas in the Evangelion world.
He should not. And I felt the movie felt very, very conclusive as to like what it's literally, the movie ends with the characters running out into the real world. They escape the animated medium. They run out into it from a train station, and the train station is real live action, and they run out. And it's the idea that the bridge has like it's ended.
Interesting. Okay. But so he's taking like familiar forms, like the superhero genre or the anime, or forms that are, let's say, not to be like simplistic, but like they're childish in a sense, and then he's making them into more grown up, kind of.
I don't think he's this is even tries to be like mature. I think even it very much embellishes in the childish, embraces it in a lot of aspects, like the music, the, like in the
but
kitschy.
But don't you think by embracing the aspects that make it sort of silly, turning that up to 10, it's sort of like reflecting an awareness of its, you know, absurdity that is not, that is absent in those Marvel movies that they're trying to like
by portraying, like being very honest about them.
Yeah, like when they
do these little poses before they hit each other and stuff like that. It's all very earnest.
Which is in a way deconstructing.
I would say, actually, like, I think you're onto something here, because the MCU stuff, they try to not do that, right? They don't do it.
It's trying to give it some more, like, heft and...
distancing it from that, it makes them... Like, because it's live action, it does... You can't do that. Is it in its way a deconstruction by being faithful to the original spirit of the...
Yeah, I guess the
idea?
But I guess in a world where we're trying to imbue superhero movies like with like Batman's dark and he's like
he's moody.
The Avengers, the stakes are getting higher. This is like more like a
We're having fun, but yet at the same time we can try and be about something a little bit more serious beyond, because like it can actually have some ideas in there, right? The idea that we're all kind of searching for happiness, but we don't really know what it is, and we're all coming up with different ideas on how to define it.
Yeah.
And we're willing maybe to hurt people too, trying to define it for ourselves. You don't see that stuff in those MCU stuff.
No, but I think, well, maybe because he also like has defined that role in his early career.
Yes.
Like having these very sad anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like from my understanding from you, it's like he sort of was the trailblazer here.
Yes. Well, he started the idea that these shows can be like dark.
No.
People take it the wrong way. I think they took the wrong way, and I think he also kind of is very upset that this is the way that it went out, because Evangelion wasn't really meant to be like a dark and grungy show. It just kind of became that way as the story progresses, and even even at its most like kind of dark and depressing stuff, it's never for the sake of like shock value. It really just feels like these characters are pushed to a very like to their limit, and people can't take it anymore. They break. All the characters in Evangelion kind of break apart by towards the end of the show, as things get even worse and worse and worse and worse. But not for the sake of like, oh, like we're torturing the audience and we're torturing these characters. But no, like these characters are, it feels very natural.
Mm-hmm.
But the imitators that came after don't seem to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They embrace the fetishism, they embrace the darkness, but not understanding the human intent behind it. That's kind of what I would think. And I think Anno himself feels that way, which is why he went back to it. There's no reason he wouldn't do it again unless he feels like he didn't really leave the franchise on the right foot or the right direction. He feels like he could do it again. That's why he calls them the rebuilds.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Well, enough of my rambling. Michelle, do you have any final words to add?
I think Michelle's checked out.
You checked out?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, it's fine. We can just end part one. All right. Well, we'll take a break. We're back. No, let's rate them up. I'm gonna give this a 6 out of 7 because I'm just personally very attached to the source, not necessarily the source material.
I'll give it a 5, but because I was lost, I don't know.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it a rating. Like I don't mean that. I mean like.
Yeah, you didn't like.
It's not for me,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
so
yeah.
I felt like my rating doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
That's true.
I want.
Like I felt too out of it to get it. Like I was trying, but I think it's just too insular to kind of.
All right, let's move on to what we watched this week.
I watched The Batman to prepare for a superhero movie.
And what was you liked it the last time?
I liked it the first time. Second time, I was into it for the first 30 minutes when it's like a mystery movie, and then as soon as it becomes like a regular Batman movie, it sucks. But
it's
like
the 3 hours
though.
Long.
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
way too fucking long.
It's also ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I get it. It's a revenge.
I like Colin Farrell as the Penguin. I thought the Catwoman is.
Yeah,
this, this is one of the better Catwoman depictions in live
better
action.
Better Catwoman
than Anne Hathaway.
Good. Good. It was well directed. I thought.
Mm-hmm. Matt Reeves.
Good casting.
Yeah.
But it's too in the like the opposite of this movie. It's just whatever the genre
is.
They're like serving it up.
Yeah, there's no, they don't want to do anything different. But
yeah.
like, I guess like the idea that this is kind of a, almost like a David Fincher take on
is the most
interesting part
that,
of the movie.
That's the good part. Yeah, when it's like a detective, like
yeah.
it's Seven in the beginning. And
the first
like,
5 minutes, fantastic.
Yeah,
the murder in the building.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Really
loved it.
Good. But then it's just like they find the Riddler and stuff and it's like...
I like how it ends with him actually needing to save people. Like that was good. And he feels like he needs to, as a journey of the character, as especially we don't have a lot of early Batman stuff. It's nice. Like he steps up. He doesn't just want to be vengeance.
That's true.
Because they throw that back in his face.
And
that's one of the cooler parts of the movie. It's like, what are you? I'm vengeance.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like, oh my god. Yeah.
Fuck. It's all the same thing. It's great.
Yeah.
And Pattinson was he sold it.
He's
fantastic.
Good in it. Yeah.
We watched Stop Making Sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. Great.
It was lovely.
I totally get it. I totally get why they call this the best concert movie ever made.
It was engrossing and not boring. Usually I get bored in concert movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, okay, so this isn't live. It makes no sense to me. But yeah, it was good.
It was the right crowd. People were dancing. This girl kept going up to the front to try and dance. She was dancing by herself. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice, I guess. All right, what are our recommendations? It's kind of hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's a superhero movie you would recommend then, Yusuf?
I'm going to recommend... Deconstructed?
Not necessary, just one that you actually find good.
I really find the Spider-Man Homecoming to be
really?
One of the more charming movies. Yeah, with the Vulture.
With the Vulture. The coolest villain.
It was so fun, honestly.
Yeah.
I watched it recently and I was having a blast.
It's even, you know, it's Spider-Man's good when it's smaller scale.
Yeah.
When the stakes aren't that high.
When it's like a neighborhood issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And I love how personal the villain is. Like, oh, it's the girl. It's the dad of the girl.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
That's what it was.
So good.
That was what made it really good.
And I was like, oh, actual conflict.
That's what
Spider-Man is. And like, Tom Holland was, this is his best performance as Spider-Man.
Plus, what I love about it is that it was like about selling the weapons that the aliens dropped.
Yeah.
And like, it's that kind of detail in like the bureaucracy and the.
And he lost his job
because
of that?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
good
like
stuff.
That kind of world building I'm behind.
Yeah.
But when it's like, you know, oh, this is 3 movies ago, Iron Man dropped this stone in the pond.
Yeah,
that's
No. This makes sense. Like, this is tied to character. God, who knows? Like, all you had to do is actually make it feel like...
But I thought it was fun.
Yeah. And I like the scene when he's crushed and he has to lift himself up and he has to talk himself into it. It's like, you can do this. Like, great. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Superhero movie I will recommend... Shit, it's kind of really hard to think of one that's actually like worth maybe Watchmen in terms of the deconstruction. I think it's great, especially the director's cut when they include all the stuff when they really let him do it. Have you seen the director's cut?
Yeah, I think that's the only one I've seen.
When they segue the animated stuff into it.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That's the only one I've seen. I haven't seen the.
Don't watch anything else. That's the only version you need to watch.
It's really good and it ruined the comic book for me. Because I was like reading it, I was like, "This is just a movie."
Until the ending,
literally. Oh yeah, yeah.
But even
like,
then, it's still the same ending. It's just
they
didn't want to do one particular thing.
Yeah,
that's what he just didn't want to do that, which makes sense.
I mean, it's better that
it's
way.
Better
I think better
because he like yeah. Never mind. This actually makes more sense if you actually think more about it. Michelle, do you have any recommendations?
The OG Superman.
Yep, fantastic. Really good. I watching it in theaters was like, I was like, oh, I get it. Like how this will be like mind blowing when you first see it. All right. That brings us to what we will be watching next week. Michelle, it's your turn to pick.
Well, it's Halloween. So we'll watch Ganger and Hess.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I've never heard of this.
Yes.
So this should be.
It's a knife that turns him into a vampire.
An ancient knife that's germ infested. and he becomes a vampire.
That sounds sick. Cool. Well, we'll see you all next week in the land of Transylvania. Actually, it's set in America, right? So whatever. Yeah. Transylvania, Minnesota. So, yeah, I'll see you here next week. Keep it real, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.
The Seventh Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.